Lost Explorer?
No, what is that?
Oh, I remember I was telling you, it was that kids movie where the main character is, like, based on you.
Oh, no, I haven't checked that out. And by the way, like, we're already recording. I just have to change the levels here.
Okay.
A little bit, but...
How do I sound? Do you need to turn me up in the headphones?
Well, that's a real thing. You know yeah. that, right?
Should I put the headphones... Should I do the headphones on this side?
If you want to.
It's probably better than the computer speakers. Let me just make sure that it doesn't, like, mess anything up, though.
You sound okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll... I'm sure I sound fine, but that way there's no echo or anything like that. How's that? Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I'm going to turn you down a little bit, though, because you're loud.
I'm loud.
Yeah.
You don't need to turn me up in the headphones. You need to turn me down?
Yes.
Turn me down in the headphones. Like that?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a little better.
Okay. I am here with J.D. Scroggin. This is the inaugural podcast here, J.D.
Yes, Hurricane and the Scroggs.
I think that's a fantastic name.
Yeah. The Scroggs for me.
Just the Scroggs, really?
Sure, why not?
Okay, fair enough.
It's like an official title.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, and Hurricane's pretty official as well.
Yes.
Where does that even come from?
Hurricane, because it rhymes with Owen Main.
Okay.
You know that old E-40 and the Click song?
You can call me Slurricane, that one?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Andy from the Fansmanship podcast got that right away.
He did?
Yeah.
He remembered the song?
Oh, yeah. He knows the song.
Man, so there was some semblance of, like, urban hip-hop in the mid-90s traveling out there to Cayucas.
Cayucas, Cambria. Oh, yeah. We had the whole gamut. I can picture going to a store in Cayucas circa, like, gosh, it was before it actually, like, got popular, but, you know, Dr. Dre's Keep Their Heads Ringing, and whoever was behind the counter was rapping the whole thing start to finish as I was buying, like, my 1 liter of Pepsi. Back when that was a big deal.
Uh-huh. I picture, like, Cayucas and Cambria, like, getting that stuff last, you know? Because you're, like, furthest away to the coast, you know? You're kind of isolated.
Yeah, we're not exactly, like, an urban, like, hotbed of whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I think we probably did get that stuff last, but, yeah.
So you actually thought that Keep Their Heads Ringing had just come out or before it was popular, but really... It had been
really,
popular already
really
for
like
a couple of years.
Really, it was like 2002.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I was probably like 12, probably 10. I don't know. So it was probably like, no. I don't know. When did it come out? Like 95?
Yeah, I want to say mid-90s for that song.
So it was right around the right time. This was a pretty hip kid that was behind the counter. So
okay.
Yeah,
there was at least one cool dude.
Yeah, I hope so. That's what I'd like to tell myself.
Oh, it was you or the guy behind the counter?
No, it was
you
the guy
were the
behind
cool
the counter.
Kid?
No, I was never the cool kid. Come on. You know me better than that.
Oh, wait. Hold on. My phone's ringing.
Yeah, it
Pardon
is.
Me.
No. You know.
Pardon me. Let me
Let
me turn that down.
Is it a hot...
This is a polished podcast.
Is that a hot lead? Is that a hot lead?
You know what? I didn't recognize the number, to be honest.
It's probably somebody calling with a hot lead about Cal Poly Athletics.
Could have been.
Yeah,
very well could have been.
And you let it go because you're on the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast.
Too. Yes, the first inaugural annual bi-weekly or what are we going to do this? We're going to try to do it weekly?
Every now and again? Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think...
Annual every now and again?
I think we can pull this off, especially if we don't have to be in the exact same place. What, are you at your house right now?
Yes. Wait, hold on. Are you like ruining the illusion that we're sitting together like... Looking across a table at each other?
Gazing into each other's eyes?
When reality, I'm looking at Skype and I'm looking at your college senior photo from USD.
UCSD.
Sorry, UCSD.
Yeah, the Division II school.
Yes.
You know, I think, yeah, that, no, I don't think it's from my, I believe that's actually from my wedding. So maybe I have aged a lot since I got married over the last 5 years.
Ouch. Yeah, no, sorry, I didn't mean to imply that.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
You have a kid, you have a dog, and suddenly you have a lot more gray hair. I know that much.
Yeah, I feel like the dog's maybe giving me more than the kid. Where do you come out on dogs? I know you have cats, right?
I have one cat, yeah.
Okay. Where do you come out on dogs?
I'm a cat. Is this like official topic now? Are we going to
go
there?
Sure,
is that,
sure,
this
let's
the topic?
Go there. Let's go.
Okay. I think I definitely prefer cats in this, you know, argument because they're just so much more independent. You don't have to, you know, put a cat in and out if you have, especially if you have a door, you know, they go in and out on their own. You put the food down, they kind of eat whatever they want and then come back, you know, later if they want more. They don't just pig out all at once. They're just like, it's so much easier to leave town. You know, you just have somebody make sure that, you know, they didn't die basically while you were gone. Check in on them once or twice. That's my kind of pet, you know, something that's low maintenance. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, my favorite pet ever was probably like a goldfish. You know, same kind of deal. My sister fed the goldfish one day way too much, like poured the whole thing of food in the goldfish. And so, and then started petting it because she was like 3 or something.
Uh-huh.
She started petting the goldfish. So that goldfish didn't last very long.
Yeah, well, none of them do.
I had one from the fair, fair in Paso that lasted, I think like 2 years. It was pretty incredible. Yeah. Yeah, so JD, I'm out here on a.
That must have been like the oldest living goldfish in the history of the world.
In the history of the Mid-State Fair, I think so. You know, it got dumped in its own bowl, and it was like, you know, it was I forget its name even, but it was pretty incredible, and it survived everything except my little sister. So
it could have won the prize at the state Mid-State Fair for oldest living.
Like 3 years later,
goldfish. Yeah.
It would have been
because,
like,
you know, they do those little things where, like, best pie or, you know, like best cookies or the best table setting. I actually saw that at the fair this year. This is the first time. I'm sure I've seen it before, but this is the first time I actually noticed it. That table setting is like a competition at the fair.
Was this the fair in Santa Maria or the fair in Paso Robles?
This year we went to the Santa Maria fair, but I've seen it in Paso Robles before, but I just never took note of it. I think I saw it, but I didn't realize how, like, absurd, at least in my brain, that it was, that it was a competition to, like, set the table.
Right. So what was the big difference maker?
In the winning entry?
Yeah.
To be honest, have you ever seen this, Owen? Am I describing this to you for the first time? Are you like, well indoctrinated into this table?
I'm not well indoctrinated, but I'd like to hear about it.
Okay. It's like they all have these themes. So it's like it'll be like you know, plates and forks and a drink, but then there'll also be like little decorations, you know, like, oh, you know, this is the Despicable Me table setting. This is the Western table setting. This is, you know, my old English table setting. And they all have different kind of themes to them.
So some of them have themes. Okay. What would be the J.D. Scroggin table setting? Would there be like a plate with like a comic book hero on there? Would there be Red Lobster or not Red Lobster, but Long John Silver's on the plate? How would that look?
Is this how you identify me? It's like my favorite things in the world is comic books
and Long John Silver's and basketball.
That's what I stand for. That's what I stand for in the main household. Long Johns and comic books.
And a vast knowledge of things like barbecuing and sports, obviously.
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 Last and least.
Obviously. Last and most, probably, right? I don't
know. Well, you know what? This is what people don't know about me. I guess I'll throw it out there and put it out there publicly. But, you know, sports is, while it is my job, when I'm on my off time, I kind of tend not to think about it a whole lot. So, like, I do follow some sports teams. Like, I'm a big Niners fan. But as far as, like, being a fan of sports and, like, watching a lot of sports or sitting there and watching, I'm not the guy who's going to sit there and watch Sports Center, you know, 10 times in a row.
Right.
I would probably much rather read or watch a movie or, you know, look at comics.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I knew you were a comic guy. I actually am in a town in southern Colorado right now, happen to be, and I had kind of a deep question for you when it comes to fast food places or just food places in general, because we've had this kind of discussion at least once on the Fansmanship podcast about the legitimacy of Long John Silver's as a as a legitimate, you know, place to eat. And I think we kind of differ in our opinions of that. But I'm in a place that would like die to have a Long John Silver's. This town, you know, has like a Burger King and a Subway and a McDonald's and Chili's and maybe a couple of like home-owned, you know, like a home-owned, homemade kind of Mexican restaurants. That are like, you know, one-offs that are
home-owned.
Family-owned, yeah. Okay. Yeah, family-owned is the word I was looking for.
You gotta not make sure that you enunciate that at first. Cause you,
family-owned.
I thought you were saying homo at first.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I thought this was going to take a turn to another direction.
Turn for the worst? No, no, that's not me. You know, to make things take a turn. But the family-owned restaurants are here as well. But somebody told me who's from around here today. They said, I wish we'd have a better type of restaurant. I wish we'd have more chains of stores. Like, and they brought up, unsolicited, they said, like an IHOP. And so I wanted to hear kind of your scaffolded pyramid of restaurants that come out, like IHOP, Denny's, maybe Village Inn, or Waffle House in the South. I don't know if you've ever been to any of those, but I wanted to kind of know what your take is on there. And it sounds like you got somebody there as well.
Yeah, my son is coming in here with a piece of artwork. Hold on, let's see here. Did you draw a picture?
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's from Mommy?
Yes.
It looks very nice.
And Mommy's list.
Oh.
Send Mommy a present.
Okay. Here, why don't you, can you take this to Mommy and go show it to her? Good job.
Hey, Mommy.
Thank you, baby.
It's
one of your
list, friend.
Okay. So, okay. Sorry for that interruption.
I want your take on these places. Like, do you prefer, for instance, Denny's or IHOP? I think it says a lot about a person.
the great Denny's IHOP debate.
Yeah.
First of all, like, am I the only one who thinks it's weird that you have a restaurant called IHOP and they serve, like, things that aren't breakfast foods? That's the first thing I think of when I think of IHOP, because it's like, you know, like, you go there and you see the menu and they have, like, this token section for, like, steak and burgers and stuff. And I'm thinking, well, who comes here for that? Why would they even have that?
Right, and if that's what they really sold in the evening, why are you open in the evening if you're the International House of Pancakes?
Well, no, because people sometimes, you know, like to go, if it's one of those 24-hour joints, you know, you get out of the club, you want to go have some waffles or pancakes or something. Like, I get it.
Sure.
Some people like to eat breakfast for dinner. Like, I get that it would be open. Sure. I'm just a little, like, weirded out that it has, like, this wide selection of, like, you know, popcorn, shrimp, and other kinds of things.
Yeah, do you never go for those at IHOP?
I have, to be honest with you, to sound like a complete and utter hypocrite. Not like intentionally, but the Slow Lions Club has their meetings at the IHOP in San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
And I've done some speaking engagements with them. So I've probably been to like 4 or 5 meetings in the past few years, and I've made some good friends there. And they, you know, I go and address the group, and they kind of ask me about the state of Cal Poly sports and what's going on in the athletic teams and who to watch out for and that kind of thing. There's some fans there that go to the games, and so it's always a fun time. I guess I'm not that weirded out when I eat the food, but I think because I go and we have dinner or lunch or whatever it is.
Sure.
But that feels like a different capacity to me. Like, I'm just going there for the meeting and, you know, whatever. If I was there, like, on my own, I don't think I would ever order anything that wasn't pancakes. Only because, like, the place is called Pancakes, right? Like,
yeah. You're right.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. It is. And so if you had a choice, and actually in San Luis Obispo, you do have a choice. And you know, this is J.D. Scroggins' personal opinion.
Because they're right next to each other?
Yeah, because they're right next to each other over by Madonna Plaza. Do you go into the Denny's or IHOP, all else being equal?
Huh.
I guess it depends on breakfast.
If it's just breakfast only?
Yep.
Man, I guess it depends on what I'm in the mood for. Because, I like the pancakes at IHOP.
Yeah, what's the deal breaker?
I like pancakes. The pancakes at IHOP are good.
Okay.
The pancakes at IHOP are probably, in my opinion, the best pancakes that you can get at one of those kind of places.
That's a bold,
you know, like
statement.
The commercial chain type place.
Put your name on it. Dang, that's pretty good. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And what would you go to Denny's for? Like scrambled eggs?
I don't know that I've ever been to a Denny's probably since before I was in high school.
Wow.
And when it wasn't like, no, I've been to Denny's, but I haven't been to a Denny's like before 10 p.m. since before I was in high school, probably.
Like, it's always so, late night. That's like the late night spot.
So Morro Bay used to have an amazing Denny's that was sued at one point, so they had to go out of business for like ADA access, I think. And there were a number of restaurants. What? There were a number of restaurants in Morro Bay that got sued at one point because they didn't have appropriate
wheelchair ramps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though they were built like a long time ago, and none of them could afford to actually, they were all kind of such thin margins that they all kind of couldn't afford to do things. I know the galley at the Anderson Hotel was one of them, I think. Yeah. But
so Denny's, was this the same person that was suing all these places?
Uh-huh. Somebody from like LA who came up and decided to sue everybody.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right. And so
we did they actually go to trial or were these all settled out of court?
I think they just closed.
The places just closed. They were like, forget this.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I believe that's how that happened. I mean, I know
they did that guy that was suing get any money?
I'm sure they didn't because they just closed down. They're no longer places of business. So
what was the point of that?
Right, and that was the
whole... To just shut down the local economy at some small beach town?
Yeah, I mean, it was stupid, right? And so, like, that Denny's became like a Bob's Big Boy for a second in Morro Bay, and then that didn't last very long because they had worse food than Denny's, I think. But
I've been to the original Bob's Big Boy, just...
Where is that?
It's in Burbank.
Okay.
It's near, like... well, I don't know where it is near exactly, but I went to visit... movie studio down there at one point. I think it was the Disney lot and the on the way
Vista,
back.
The Buena Vista lot?
We went to the original Bob's Big Boy.
Nice, nice. So anyway, we used to go to that Denny's quite a bit, you know, on our way back from San Luis Obispo. You know, if you're in high school and you come back from Farmer's Market on a Thursday night, but it's like, you know, it's only like 9 or 10 and you kind of want to stay out a little later and you can, you know, just pull up a booth at Denny's and just, you know, wreak havoc there for a little while. I mean, I know that's definitely something that people from Cayucas and Cambria, you know, did growing up. So, you know, Denny's is definitely has a fond place in my mind, and I probably would choose Denny's most of the time over IHOP. I feel like IHOP, you're right, it has lots of good pancakes. I think their syrup selection is incredible, but when it comes to just, you know, like overall quality, I think Denny's might be a little bit better, and it might depend on the Denny's too. Like, in particular.
Yeah, you're going with the nostalgia factor.
Yeah, because they're both
just like ring, ding, dong, keep the heads ringing. It was the cool thing in Cayucas when you were 12.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're in Cayucas and you want to go to a place that's pretty amazing along those lines, but probably better pancakes than either of those places, there's a little place called Skipper's that I definitely recommend.
I've eaten there. I ate there when I used to live in Cayucas. I remember that place.
Yeah, we used to go there all the time. They had like ice cream, you know, soft serve ice cream in the window there. And then, you know, breakfast at Skipper's when the grandparents were in town or something was always a treat for sure. So which one of those, like, is there another restaurant, like a sit-down restaurant version in your mind of, you know, how, so we're going to do like an SAT quiz here. Long John Silver's is to fast food as X restaurant is to sit down food.
Wait, oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So you want to know what the fancy,
not
you know,
fancy, but
equivalent
the sit down
of?
The sit down version of Long John Silver's is.
Yeah.
Not fast food.
Does it have to be a chain or
it can be whatever.
Huh.
It can be a one-off.
Last time we talked about this, I kind of equated, see what I did was in my mind, I equated Taco Bell to Long John's, because you were saying that, like, don't eat Long John's when you have access to, like, fresh, local, caught, you know, good seafood fish restaurants.
Right.
But what I was saying is, yeah, like, okay, but don't go have an, you know, smothered enchirito, you know, when you could go to a good, solid Mexican food place.
Sure,
you know,
that would be just as
good.
Yeah, right.
But sometimes you just want the fast food version of, like, what the real good thing really is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's a market for Long John Silver's. I think there would be even in a coastal community.
Okay.
Just like there is a market for Taco Bell in, you know, a community that might have lots of good Mexican food.
Interesting. Okay.
Sometimes you just want the greasy fast food version of whatever you're going to eat. So that's how I equated it last time we were talking. And you scoffed.
So what's the greasy version of a sit-down restaurant? Is it like a Denny's or an IHOP? Or what would that be? What would that
be? Like in the fast food world?
Like out of the fast food world, like in the regular world.
I don't know. It's a good question. I'd have to ponder it, I guess.
I guess I have a lot to ponder.
Yeah.
In the words of Derek Zoolander.
Yes. Merman. Merman.
I was quoting Zoolander today at work. I'm very proud of myself about
that. Dude, I just watched it the other day.
Did you? Yeah.
It was really weird. Yeah, you know what? Because for some reason, this is what happened. Uh-huh. For some reason, this popped into my head. Oh, we were watching, my wife and I were watching TV, and Owen Wilson came out on something. And every time Owen Wilson comes out in anything, my brain immediately goes, Hansel.
He's so hot right now.
Yes. And then I hear the music from Zoolander and I hear Hansel. And so I saw him on something and I said out loud, Hansel. And then I was like, wait, now I need to watch Zoolander. So then we actually went, surfed Netflix, found it and turned it on and watched the whole thing.
Is it on streaming on Netflix?
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah. That's how we watched it.
Oh, that sounds pretty amazing. I might have to watch that tonight.
Yeah.
Because I have it in my head now and sometimes the only way to get Zoolander out of your head is to watch it.
Yes, you should also check out Tad the Lost Explorer, which I am convinced
the
main character, Thaddeus, was based on yourself.
Thaddeus, well, that's not a bad name.
Yes.
Yeah, what is Tad like an animal? I would have been
completely shocked if his name was Owen. But
is Tad an animal or
they couldn't totally rip you off, because then it's like using your likeness, and then you could sue them,
yeah.
And then they would have had to close instead of settle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But the movie came out nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. If they're like me, then they better pay up, J.D. Scroggins. Yeah.
Well, I think they learned from the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit.
What do you think about that? They didn't want to
completely use your likeness altogether.
Yeah. What do you think about the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit?
Number. It just used your number and a player avatar that looks like you.
Moen Ain?
Yes.
Or something like that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think about the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit? I mean, obviously you cover college sports. It's kind of weird how the NCAA is now giving – the NCAA is now giving the big power conferences kind of some level of autonomy now, because they have this to kind of hold over their heads maybe.
Yeah, there's so many different aspects to that whole thing. I mean, first of all, I get the legal reasons for why, you know, Ed O'Bannon would like to sue and get money and feels like his likeness has been used without his permission. Like, I get the legal grounds for all that, but the fallout of it is something that's really kind of a casualty, because I grew up in an era, I'm sure you did too,
yep.
PlayStation, you know, PlayStation 2, Sega, where you had these college football games or college basketball or whatever they may be, and kind of was raised on those. And one of the big things that you really enjoyed and looked forward to every year was when the new college football game came out, and then
right.
You go to the store and you get it and you bring it home, you play with all your friends or you play online with friends, and like it was like culturally a big phenomenon for me and my friends from high school all the way to college and through college. You know, going to the store and getting the new college game when it came out, and then playing it all season,
right.
You know, and playing dynasties and doing recruiting. And it was so it's so much fun and enjoyment that we got out of it, that now it's kind of depressing and sad that there's never going to be another one of those games. And it comes down to essentially this lawsuit and the decisions, I guess, you know, made by the gaming industry to begin with, that they were, you know, doing things the way they were doing it. But it's just kind of sad. It's like, okay, you know, all you guys get your, you know, all the guys in the lawsuit get your, you know, $50 a piece or whatever you're going to get out of the class action,
right?
You know, whatever settlement you're going to get, you're all going to get your little token money. But now we're never going to have those games again. And it wasn't just the fans who liked playing them, like the actual college players. Every college player I talked to about those college football or basketball games used to love to play as themselves. You know, and make themselves like 99, you know, and like, you know, play the game all the time. So it's kind of sad. It's saddening to me that the games have come to an end.
Yeah, and you could even, I mean, recently in some of those college football games, you could even play as Cal Poly. You know, they didn't show like Spanos Stadium super nicely or anything like that, but you could be the Cal Poly Mustangs. You could be green and gold. They probably even had matching numbers with some of the players. I mean, probably not all the players, but they get pretty deep with some of that stuff. Speaking of kind of guys who you know playing in sports, I've been writing for kind of for fun for an FC Dallas MLS blog this year. It's called BigDSoccer.com.
Fancy, anyway, huh?
It's pretty fancy, but my weekly contribution is actually to play a game on FIFA 14. with FC Dallas, and so I'm them, and the game like adjusts formation and who's hurt and who's not. It adjusted automatically every week, which is pretty neat. And I think about like what if it would have done that in the past, and I had a wild hair, and so I actually played with Toronto just for fun one time, and lo and behold, a reserve on the Toronto team on FIFA 14 happens to be San Luis Obispo, Cal Poly's one and only George Malkey. Montreal, not Toronto. I think he plays for Montreal, or he was drafted by Montreal, right? Yeah. Are you there?
Me? Yes. Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm listening to you go on and on about soccer.
About George Malkey. Yeah.
I saw on Twitter today that he signed with another league now.
Yeah, the one that Mac Pridham signed with.
Yeah, Matt Santa Maria from KSBY tweeted that out. Shout out to Matt Santa Maria and KSBY.
Yeah, you know.
And also to the Tribune. For no particular reason. SanLuisObispo.com.
Except that you
SanLuisObispo.com, blogging with Sprogan. Oh, and stop talking when I'm saying SanLuisObispo.com. SanLuisObispo.com.
What was that website again?
SanLuisObispo.com.
Yeah, you know, Matt Santa Maria. I really think he kind of stays on top of that stuff a lot. Like for a guy who, you know, does TV news, he does pretty, you know, great stuff in terms of like just kind of staying on top of, you know, those kinds of random things. And he does break that stuff on Twitter from time to time. So
yeah there's a lot of random things to stay on top of. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And anyway, I could play with George Malkey on FIFA 14, which was pretty rad. And I think he thought it was pretty good too, although his score was like one of the lowest scores, I think, in the whole game.
Yes.
For that. So
I remember when Courtney Brown from Cal Poly.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't that his name?
Courtney Brown?
Yeah.
I don't know. What year was this?
DB from Poly.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was before I started following really closely.
Oh, that was before you like got into sports.
That was probably when I was living in like Colorado or Florida, maybe.
Oh, you weren't even back here at that time?
I don't know. What year was that?
This was like 2007-ish when he was in the NFL.
That might have been like right when I moved back. So it takes a few years, right? Once you get to a place, it takes a few years to fully assimilate into back into like being a fan of some place that you kind of were a pseudo fan of before. You know, like I can picture like the first years that I started going to games was like, you know, Ramsey's Barden was maybe like a sophomore or junior.
Courtney Brown was like the team right before Ramsey's.
Okay.
He was a cornerback at Cal Poly. He ran like a 4.440, got drafted by the Cowboys. He was on their team for a few years. And it was funny because Rick Riley wrote a column about Madden and how he didn't really know and understand what the awareness rating was. And so he wrote this column about how he was getting down to the bottom of like what awareness meant in Madden.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of just a funny like take on it.
Yeah, back when Rick Riley was like a super relevant
I think he was still at Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, I mean he was so he had awesome that for a while.
Yeah. Weekly column.
I used to read that. That was like a great column for so long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, this particular column, in that particular year, Courtney Brown from Cal Poly just so happened to be the player with the lowest awareness rating in Madden. And Rick Riley wrote that he contacted Courtney Brown to find out what he thought about being the lowest rated, lowest awareness rating in Madden, and his the quip in the column was that Brown was not aware. But I don't know. See, I don't know if Courtney Brown actually really got contacted, if Rick Riley actually interviewed him, or if he just put that in there as a joke just to be funny.
Yeah, right. And who knows, really.
That's like a mystery for the ages.
Maybe we need to contact Courtney Brown about it.
Yeah, we'll see if he's aware of whether he was interviewed by Rick
Riley. I'm not sure if we're going to have any like interviews on this podcast, but you know, maybe. Who knows, right? You never really know.
Why not? Why not have a guest or two? Yeah, we've already revealed, we've already let you behind the curtain and exposed that we're doing this via Skype.
Yeah, so, yeah, why not? Maybe next time when we're in person, we could have somebody else on the line. That might be enjoyable, or maybe somebody else in person.
Yeah.
That could also be a good thing.
We will do one in person, at least one in person.
Yeah, soon.
And we need to get some like cool drops too, like the fansmanship drop. com podcast.
Like, so who do you who would be like the ideal voice for you in San Luis Obispo to do the voice for the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast?
Are you kidding me? I think we should just do. You know what we should do? Oh my God! I have a great idea. Okay, I know exactly what we should do.
Go.
Okay. All right. Like, and you know what I'm talking about when I say drops, right? Like, you know how the fansmanship.com podcast is. It's Andy's dad or whatever.
And he goes,
this is the fansmanship.com podcast.
Yeah, Dave Stevens.
Like,
Big should, Dave.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, we should get something that identifies, first of all, that this is the fansmanship.com podcast network, and then also that this is Hurricane and the Scroggs.
Uh-huh.
And we should totally do, like, this is, because, like, you're thinking, like, right now, we should get a celebrity guest to, like, come in and do some drops, right? Like, somebody local who's a big name, like big voice kind of guy.
I'm just asking you. I mean, I'm very open to whatever ideas you might have.
Okay, well, get this.
I'm getting it.
The first person that pops to my mind, obviously, when you say voice of anything, is Tom Barquette. Because he's like the voice of Cal Poly Mustangs, and I basically mostly listen to sports talk. Unfortunately, I listen to a lot of podcasts too, by the way, on the way to work, but not a ton of local radio. But Tom, I hear also because he sits next to me at all the games, and so I hear him most of the time.
Yep.
But here's the thing about Tom that I don't think anybody really knows, but like a lot of people who know Tom, like professionally, do a Tom, like like do a imitation of his voice. Like, I'm Tom Barquette with ESPN Radio 1280. Like a lot of people do it. Like, and it's not like it's not a sign of a show of disrespect. It's just like
it's like of an respect almost. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like an honor of.
Sure.
So maybe we can get like a bunch of different people who do a Tom Barquette to like do a Tom Barquette.
Interesting.
Fake testimonial.
Interesting. And then maybe Tom would do one too.
Yeah, but he'll do a fake one too.
He'll do a real Tom Barquette and then a fake Tom Barquette.
Well, see, this is what I like about Tom, because like there's people out there like on the message boards or like out there in the community who are kind of like anti-Tom. But here's something I want to say too. Like, I want to say two things. First of all, I enjoy, you know, his work because I get to hear him, you know, for baseball especially.
Yeah.
I get to hear him. For football, I don't really hear him that much unless it's a road game and I'm not able to attend.
Right.
Because he's in the booth and I don't really hear what he's saying.
Sure.
But and basketball is kind of a similar deal. But I do hear a lot of his stuff and I hear the coach's show when he's on. And, you know, I appreciate that he does a good job. I enjoy his work. I think he does a good job on the times I've heard him.
I agree.
But like I, you know, acknowledge there's a camp out there of people who like don't like him. But I think for those people, what I would like to say about Tom Barquette, I can't believe we're doing a thing on Tom Barquette.
You brought it up.
I know, but I want to go into it.
Go ahead.
I want to do it justice.
Do it justice. Make it happen. That's why we have a podcast. That's why we have the long format here that we can do things justice here, JD Scroggins.
To the Tom Barquette haters, I just want to say, to his credit, this is the number one likable thing about him. The voice that you hear on the radio is the same voice that you hear like around town. Like he doesn't have a fake radio voice. He doesn't have a radio voice. It's just his normal. That's his normal voice. That's just how he talks.
Interesting.
Which is like the most respectable thing about him. Yes, because you see these other radio guys and they come in and they're all doing their like, you know, Vin Scully impersonations or like, you know, fastball down the middle and the count is 1-2. You know, and Tom just does like his normal voice the whole time. He doesn't have like a fake on the air voice,
right?
Which I think is like. You know, some of those radio guys, you talk to them, you hear them on the air, and then they stop talking, and you talk to them normally, and you're like, there's no way you're the same guy.
Right, interesting.
Tom is the same guy.
He's genuine.
To his credit.
Yeah, he's definitely genuine, and I really do appreciate, I mean, to be able to call all the different sports is definitely a talent. You know, not a lot of guys call a lot of different sports. A lot of guys are kind of specialists in terms of baseball or basketball or whatever. And, you know, having grown up and watched... you know, all the greatest ones, you know, and since San Luis Obispo is the LA sports market, I mean, you know, when you talk about broadcasters, we have pretty high expectations in those ways. And Tom does, you know, Tom definitely does a good job with Cal Poly. I think he's in enough and he's known enough. He's been around for long enough where there's some value added to having a guy like Tom do what he does the way that he does it. He's pretty humble, like, and I appreciate that about Tom too. He's definitely genuine, and if we're gonna go on a Tom Barquette rant, then definitely, you know, I'm a fan of him. Last year, a quick story, in Fort Collins, actually in Denver, you, me, and him were all in the airport there for a second, and there was a big flood the night before the football game. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, and
yeah, and it was up in the air whether we were even going to go.
Whether we were going to, because
like I remember being, yeah. Well, they were talking about canceling the game.
Right.
So I remember the day that my flight left, because we were all leaving on the same day. I remember being on call and waiting for the call whether or not we should even go to the airport.
Whether the game was,
because I think I was flying out of Santa Barbara.
Right. And there was questions about whether the game was even going to happen, and I got here. I got to Colorado, which is where I am now. I'm not near Denver, but I got to Denver to the airport at 3 o'clock or something. I tried to drive up a back way that I knew, and it was cut off because the bridge was, the water was running over the bridge there. So I came back to the airport, and somebody let me know that, you know, that Tom might be able to use a ride. So, you know, I called you up and Tom up, and we were all kind of in a gas station by the airport trying to figure out, you know, where we would stay overnight, or where people would stay overnight, because, you know, Tom had reservations at this hotel, and I was in Fort Collins somewhere as well, and I think you had reservations too, and Tom and I finally just said, screw it, we're gonna start driving and see, you know, if things have mellowed out by now. And we got up there, and luckily there was kind of a back road way that somebody at one of the hotels told us about, and we got into town at about 11:30 at night there in Fort Collins, and it was like the most surreal thing with all the flooding that was going on. And Boulder got hit the worst in that area, and I think they actually
Fresno State Colorado game did get canceled, was supposed to be in Boulder.
But all the way up, you know, to hear Tom tell stories, and you know, he's been around Cal Poly sports enough now where, you know, it's a thing where he can do kind of callbacks, and he has, you know, kind of a wealth of knowledge about, you know, past things and past experiences and past times. For instance, I was listening to him call, and I'll this will be kind of the last thing about Tom, but I was listening to him call the
hey, what if I have more about
you,
Tom?
Then you're allowed. I was listening to him call the Long Beach State game down at Blair Field, one of those games this year, and he was contextualizing the fact that Cal Poly just couldn't do anything right, and because that was kind of the one big slump.
Super homerish, like,
no,
he,
no,
you know, there was, he tells it like it is sometimes.
Yeah, it was the slump that Cal Poly was having, and Tom was contextualizing the fact that actually Cal Poly has a really hard time at Blair Field, and Long Beach State's a tough out for Poly, and I think they beat them 2 out of 3, or they swept them, one or the other. Dang, where are you?
I live right nearby a
major
a
thoroughfare.
Firehouse. Yeah, like there's no, not a major thoroughfare, but like a you know, I don't know how to explain it. I live near a firehouse.
Yeah, there you go.
I live near a firehouse, and the street where they drive down the fire engines is right behind my house. So I hear fire engines all day long.
There you go.
I don't know who is calling the fire department. I never see like fires on TV or on the news or anything like that. I don't know. But there must be millions of calls for firefighters. There must be lots of cats in the trees or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think they're like first responder paramedics too a lot of the time. So there you go. Cool. Well, I think we've kind of fulfilled our inaugural podcast with conversations about Denny's and IHOP and amazingly enough, also Tom Barquette. So maybe Tom needs to be a guest on our podcast.
Yeah, I say we get a bunch of like fake Tom impressions saying like, this is Hurricane and the Squawks on the FansWithChef.com podcast network. And then we get like everyone to do their Tom, and then we get like Tom to do a real one.
Yeah, and play all of them for Tom and see what he thinks. Maybe. You think he'd be a good sport about that? I do.
That's my proposal.
Okay. We'll do our best to make it work. Hey, I have one last question for you.
Yes.
And I'm not going to ask you about like Cal Poly football or the craziness that's going on there, but I am going
to ask
not?
You.
Well, because I think that's something we can deal with maybe on the next one or maybe on the Fansmanship podcast. I'm not sure.
Sure.
But I just want to ask, like, as a professional, like as a writer, have you ever got to cover anything like that, like this? And when I say got to, you know, I'm definitely like, you know, probably not choosing my words completely appropriately.
Have you ever been forced?
Has there ever been a story that you've covered like this one? Yeah, I mean, like this one, in any of the places that you've worked, and has this been like one of the? I imagine you're working like long hours this past week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think I said this on Twitter too. This whole event, and to answer your question first, just yes, I have. And this whole, you know, thing with the arrest with the Cal Poly football team took me back to when I was in college, and I mentioned it on Twitter. With the Terry Pettis shooting when I was in college. And Terry Pettis was a basketball player at Fresno State. He was, if I don't know if how much you know about Fresno State, but they had Tarkanian. They had Jerry Tarkanian at one point, and then when he retired, they brought in a new coach, Ray Lopes, who was a protege of Kelvin Sampson, if you remember him from Oklahoma and from Indiana. Sure. And he got busted for making all those illegal phone calls. Or improper phone calls against the rules, against NCAA rules, Sampson did.
Okay.
Ray Lopes got run for the same thing, basically, at Fresno State a few years earlier for making a lot of impermissible calls.
Which are all probably legal right now.
PS, have the rules changed on that? I don't know,
They've changed on some of that, yeah.
Anyways, he was just making tons of phone calls or something, like small phone calls to recruits. And so anyways, but when he first came in to replace Tarkanian, he brought in his recruiting class. And one of them was a freshman point guard from Minnesota. His name was Terry Pettis. His freshman year, he came on and actually, like, I think midway through the year, like, earned the starting job and had turned out to be this freshman sensation. And everyone was like, oh, this guy's so cool. I was working at the Collegian at the time, the campus newspaper, and there was a guy on our staff who did a feature on him, like, oh, freshman sensation, you know, for Fresno State. And so anyways, the season's over, and I can't remember exactly when it was, if it was his sophomore year going into the season or if it was the freshman year after the season. But at some point, he got a gun and went to like the campus apartments that were near, you know, off campus, but they were right across the street from the football stadium. Okay. And basically like stuck up a drug dealer wearing his like practice jersey and fired like it was a ripoff gone wrong. He fired a bunch of shots into the car, hit one of the drug dealers, killed one of the drug dealer's girlfriends, and then stormed off or whatever. It turned out he got arrested, fingered, and then prosecuted. He went on trial and he got convicted of murder or some charge of killing somebody. And that's what it kind of reminded me of, not because there was a murder involved, but I mean, when you're talking, drugs and robbing and armed robbery, that's immediately where I got taken back to, because when I was in college, that was like the, the big thing. And I did do some stories on that. I remember working for the Collegian and doing some court stories on that when he was actually in court. And I learned an important lesson, a cynical lesson from that whole thing, because I told you one of our staff writers had done a feature on Terry Pettis. So when the information kind of came out little by little. So like, you didn't really know, kind of like this, where like you don't hear everything all at once. You just get pieces of information.
And so you have to like,
kind of wonder who did what.
Yeah. You do a lot of wondering, but if you're a news outlet, you have standards about how much you can wonder.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But so, I remember the guy who wrote the feature on Pettis was like, oh, he wrote a column even saying like, hey, don't be so quick to judge Pettis. he's a good guy. He probably didn't do it kind of thing. Like that's what he was just kind of getting his back in a column. And I've seen several other writers do the exact same thing. Professional writers who have been, columnists for, years and years do the same thing where they're like, hey, I'm going to give so-and-so the benefit of the doubt. I just learned from that situation, and this is totally cynical on me, but whenever there is, an athlete, whether it be in the NFL or anywhere else, and it comes out that they got busted for something or suspected of something, I am never going to be like a character witness for, a Ben Roethlisberger that's accused of sex harassment or sex assault or, when that kind of stuff comes out, I'm just automatically, I've seen too many times where it comes out and it's true to the point where I'm like, I hear that kind of stuff and it's like, you can't help but automatically think guilty until proven innocent just because and then it turns out he's convicted of murder
Right. Right.
You just look like you have a ton of egg on your face.
Well, right. And at the same time, you also have to be, you know, fair in terms of that stuff. And,
sure.
And certainly, you know, I heard from people in the athletic department describe your writing, you know, as fair and your coverage as fair, to, you know, to everybody. So it's, you know, it's not like you're being unfair to whoever you're writing about. And I think that's an interesting like take on it, I guess, is that, you know, you can't, especially as somebody who's seen so much stuff, you can't be a guy who's going to defend, you know, like outright defend, you know, anybody. It's hard to know anybody. I guess, you know, there's a lesson that you really don't know anybody in terms of, you know, athletes that you cover. You know, you have an idea about somebody, like if this would have been like, you know, Dylan Royer and Jordan Lewis and Chris Eversley, I would have been very, you know, just to use like three guys from the basketball team, like that would have been very surprising to me. And I've been around the basketball team a lot more than any other team there. But that being said, you know, like you could have, you know, there probably would have been people who would have said that about some of these guys maybe. And you just don't know.
I was shocked.
You just don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. I was shocked when the news came out that these guys were arrested, these Cal Poly guys.
Right.
Totally shocked. And these were all, well, most of them, let's see. Trying to think of the five that who were arrested, I have at least had passing like conversation with
three
of them, and I'd interviewed, you know, one of them many, many times.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I was shocked when I heard the news. I'm like, what? Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, but not to convict anybody, but at the same time, I'm thinking, well, you know, the truth is basically what we're after in the news, you know. So
sure.
Like, I'm not going to defend anything but the truth in that case. So I hear it and I'm shocked. I'm like, no way, I can't believe it. It's the same thing what everyone else was saying. Their teammates were saying the same thing. Coaches are saying the same thing. We're shocked. We can't believe it. You know, but then at the end of the day, you know, if the evidence is out there, then you can't turn a blind eye to it. So it's like you said, it's all about being fair. Like you have to, you know, you have to kind of, you get over that initial shock to put everything out on the table and say, okay, well, what really happened?
Yeah.
And you can't let, you know, anything bias you in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, I've known Chris Stan Ivory for, you know, this is the, for more than 3 years.
Right.
And I've interviewed him many, many times. But obviously I don't know him, you know,
right.
Well enough.
Right.
If it shocks me that he's going to, you know, be involved in something like this.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it's just such a crazy thing, you know, and to think, you know, I did a podcast with Tim Walsh, I think like 2 days before this whole thing happened. And, you know, the media guide came out yesterday and it, you know, didn't have those guys in it. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but, you know, at a place like Cal Poly, like it does kind of, it's a little bit more shocking, and people put the, you know, the connection between a guy who could get into school there and like actual good character. And just because you're smart doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that's something you're doing. You know, again, innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, I knew a lot of smart guys growing up who made, you know, stupid decisions too, who, you know, who were smart enough to get into, you know, whatever school they wanted. So, you know, the connection there, I think, is kind of forever broken in terms of, you know, kind of connecting, can you get into school here versus, you know, what does that mean about, you know, who you are and how you want to be? And Cal Poly, you know, seems to be moving pretty swiftly to remedy all that. So it'll be interesting to see. And I want to talk to you more, you know, on a different podcast about, you know, how it's going to affect the football team and stuff. But I think we've generally fulfilled an inaugural podcast. We're not quite to an hour, but you know, I think this is a good length. What do you think?
An hour? Yeah, that seems all right. That seems pretty standard. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts that are usually between an hour and an hour and a half.
Okay. I listen to some weekly ones that are like more like around a half hour. And I feel I feel like those are the ones that I like keep coming back to.
I think what that means is that I have a longer commute than you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I listen to the longer ones. I get into the longer ones when I'm like on the road or something or waiting for the airport. So that's true. If you like what you hear, you know, let us know. JD, where can people find you?
The best place to connect with me is probably on Twitter, twitter.com/slowcollegebeat, SLO collegebeat. Or you can find me at rebelmouse.com/JDScroggin, find all my social content there, or jscroggin@thetribunenews.com.
and of course San Luis.
At the Tribune? At the Tribune. Yes.
I spell out T-H-E because the could be like duh, you know.
That would be the gangsta paper.
TheTribuneNews.com.
I'm gonna go buy that website right now, yeah. And it'll be the amazing parody side of the whole Tribune for sure.
TheTribuneNews.com coming to Cayucas in a few years.
Coming straight at you.
Yes. It's gonna be popular in the urban centers first, and then you'll have it in Cayucas.
The urban centers of San Luis County, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well. This has been fun. We'll do it again. This is the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast for JD Scroggin. I'm Owen Main, and catch you next time. Through life, make wake like a jet ski. Wake fake as long as the Lord lets me. So get up, get out, and get something. Minuscule trials and tribulations is nothing. As long as my blood's pumping, I'll be into something. Making my carriage out of a pumpkin. It's all about the letters, not the dressing. So if you ain't impressing, well, then you need to be. I did it illegally, then did it repeatedly. It really ain't a thing to me, cause I do it all.